This is fun! The FU Network.
For he's a jolly good fellow. For he's a jolly good fellow. For he's a jolly good fellow. Let's all say on the bus.
It's sad. So sad. It's a sad, sad situation. And it's getting more and more absurd. It's sad. So sad. Why can't we talk it over? Oh, it seems to me that sorry seems to be the hardest word. Hello, I'm Ed Desoc, and no, I'm not doing a commercial for a KTEL record. This is Mensplaining, and today we're going to talk about men and apologies. And joining us today, we've got, of course, our producer, Hafiz Noorani, out in Victoria. Is that where you are still? Victoria?
Vancouver.
Vancouver. What's the difference? When you're in Toronto, Victoria and Vancouver is the same place.
There are a barrier from tsunamis. We're the mountain range on the island.
All right. Well, thank you for clearing that up for no one who cared. We've got Andrew Willis from Andyland Radio joining us again. Hello, Andy.
Hello. Fred Penner had nothing on you.
Fred. Oh, Fred Penner. You know, he's in a new kids show, like as a guest star. Now, and it's kind of cool because the show is put together by friends of mine. Anyway, I'll tell you about it another time. We've got Justin D. Whitehead. What does the D stand for today, Justin?
Ooh, I should have thought one ahead. Give me a little bit. I'll.
All right. Today the D stands for dim. Okay. And joining us, Sean Wilton. Sean, how are you?
I'm doing all right. Thanks, Ed. How are you doing?
Good. Where are you from, Sean?
I'm in, New Westminster, BC, but we'll just say Vancouver.
New Westminster's better, because then all I don't have two people in Vancouver.
All right. All right. New Westminster, then.
New Westminster. Okay. So, and Justin is constantly moving, but I think, Justin, are you the one in Victoria?
Same island. We'll call it close enough.
All of you guys. You, all of you West Coasters, you're all a pain in my ass. All right. So we're going to talk today about men and apologies. Obviously, this is sort of, come into focus because of the pictures of Justin Trudeau from 19 years ago and the video from when he was in high school doing racially insensitive things, and he apologized. And there's some people, of course, conservatives, for propaganda purposes, will never accept the apology because then it ruins their entire propaganda purpose. Even though Andrew Scheer said that when his candidates say something bad, all they have to do is apologize. And Andrew Scheer has not apologized. And we'll get to that for comments he made. But Justin Trudeau has apologized, and there's a core of lefty white people who say they can never forgive him. They can never forgive him for something he did when he was 29 and something he did when he was high school. He said sorry. And it seems now that politicians never say sorry. If you look towards the U.S., which is where we get so much of our bloody news these days, there's a president there who believes never apologize. It doesn't matter what you do. You could take a crap on somebody's fine linen and you still don't apologize.
Like, I'm pretty sure he is doing that right now, like on fine linens used by Obama and even George Washington, probably the same linens.
I don't think the linens from Washington's day have survived till today. that'd be some pretty good weave. But it seems, and for many years I think it's been expressed that saying sorry is just not a manly thing. That somehow apologizing takes away some of what makes you a man. And we're going to talk about that today. We'll start with Hafiz Noorani. Hafiz, have you ever felt that apologizing was something that just made you feel like a cuck?
No, I'm one that often has to apologize quite a bit. I'm going to be honest. Look, I think it's actually more manly to apologize. I always thought that the person that can say they're sorry and put their foot down and end an argument, and it's actually the bigger man.
All right. Let's talk to Justin. Your thoughts?
Same, really. I mean, you know, it doesn't take much courage to just sort of, you know, lie your way out of every situation you find yourself in. Like, you use Trump as an example. You know, he would shit on the linens and then, you know, blame it on you. If you're the one who walked in the room to discover what he did, he'd say, it was you.
Well, it's like, it wasn't a problem until you came in and saw it. Yeah. All right. Andy Willis, have you ever felt that as a gay man, there's a different definition or feeling of what it means to be a man and masculinity? Not with everybody, but with some. So in attempting to try to, you know, introduce some variety into what so far has been, yeah, everybody agrees. Have you ever had any trouble saying you're sorry? And if so, is it because you felt it somehow diminished you as a man?
Well, as a pickle kisser, of course, to add some pizzazz to my life, I always thought, like, no, I don't really think I should apologize when a guy calls me, like, a fag when I'm, like, in grade 6 and I punch him out and the teacher's like, oh, you gotta apologize. And it's like, well, why? So, like, no, I mean, I think there's circumstances where you shouldn't apologize, and I absolutely hate this culture that we live in where we have to apologize for the smallest of things. Like, sometimes it just really feels good to say, get fucked, or, you know what, I don't care, or, hey, you know, I'm a raging Holocaust denier, like, why not? Like, let's just run with it, just go with it, you know what I mean? Like, I mean, I don't know. Like, I just think some people, they can really go overboard in some cases. Justin Trudeau, with the whole blackface situation, it's like, first of all, he just reeks of the guy whose dick stinks and he still wants you to blow him anyways. Like, he's kind of a pussy. I can't really stand him. And, you know, he should just sort of got up there and said, you know what? I just like rocking blackface because I love hanging out with, like, you know, people and doing my own thing and feeling unique and special. So, you know what? Why not? Let's just go with it. So, I mean,
Wow, Andy, you just shit on our linen.
I did. George Washington, Martin. Yeah. Spinning.
I don't even know where to start unpacking that. I mean, obviously, you don't want to apologize if you don't feel that you're wrong. If somebody beat you up or somebody made fun of you for whatever purpose they did, and you gave them a shot to the face, and you don't want to apologize for it because you feel it was provoked, that's one thing.
To be very clear, though, about all the other things is that, to really wrap it up in a bow, I think the whole thing about doing an apology is that you're coming clean for something, and you're coming clean for everything. Because I hate when people say, like, oh, I'm really sorry, I posed in this photo with, like, a Nazi, like, symbol and in Nazi garb. And then, like, 10 years later, there's, like, 20 more photos of that. It's like, if you're going to apologize, you shouldn't just apologize for the one thing. You should really be apologizing for, you know, the whole, like, you know, the whole acts that you're performing, you know? So, unfortunately, people kind of pussyfoot and they kind of, you know, sidestep. And the apology is really just a fake way of trying to make up.
All right. Sean Wilton, welcome to your first episode. Sean, your thoughts. Have you ever felt hesitant to apologize or felt that apology would diminish you, diminish your masculinity?
I think it comes down to context. I think when you're... of course, if you manage to screw up with in your relationship or something like that, and you need to apologize, of course, then it's a good time to come out with the I'm sorry and kiss some ass. But, you know, it's funny, from a political level, Trump has kind of proven that you can do horrible things, and it actually comes out to be a sign of weakness if you apologize. He just kind of goes head first into all his screw-ups and never apologizes for any of it, and he gets away with it because he doesn't apologize for it.
Well, no, he gets away with it because he's the president, and most political, democratic political systems are founded upon, or were founded upon, the notion that the people involved in them would understand basic human decency. And when somebody gets in, that doesn't understand basic human decency, there actually aren't any rules or laws that, in most situations, compel them to act like decent human beings. He gets away with it because there's really no mechanism to stop him from getting away with it. But hey, the book's still open on his tenure as president as well. But you yourself have never felt emasculated by apologizing. Is that correct?
I would say no. There probably are times where I should have apologized where I didn't.
Why didn't you?
Probably out of just, to be perfectly honest, it's a hard thing to do. It's hard to man up and to actually come out with that apology.
Thank you.
Because then you're admitting guilt, I guess, to a certain degree, and sometimes it's just hard as a human being to admit that you were wrong.
Why do you think that is? Let me hang on a second. This just hit me. Andy Willis, did you say you were a pickle kisser?
Yeah,
I never heard that one before. Not the brine version, I'm imagining.
No, definitely not.
All right. Sorry, somehow, for some reason, that just hit me now. Hafiz, why is it difficult to admit you're wrong? And because, is it more difficult for men?
Look, if we're anyone to apologize, you kind of have to put yourself in that vulnerable position where, you know, you are saying that you actually have done something wrong. And for anyone to admit guilt or anything like that, there's this underlying fear that it's going to continuously be held against you. And I think as men, we kind of assume that, you know, if you apologize, that's not going to be the be all and end all. And oftentimes for a lot of cases, it really isn't. It keeps on getting hammered in. So I think it's a fear of the continued repercussions from that apology, or having that apology used against you in the future and saying, hey, oh yeah, remember that time you apologized for this? Aren't you equally wrong with this? And
so you think that it establishes a benchmark, it establishes a precedent that in future will be... Right.
In the mindset of someone that doesn't want to apologize. And also... It sets you in a tone that, you know, you are fallible. And I think for a lot of men, that is not where they want to be.
All right. Why? Why, though? Why does it seem weak to admit that you did something wrong as opposed to stronger? Because you could admit, all right, you know what? Yeah, I screwed up. I'm sorry for the consequences. I'm sorry for whatever it did to you. Because this is true. This is a thing. I've had it myself. Not that I've ever felt it affected my masculinity, but there are things I should have apologized for faster in situations that I didn't. And I don't know why. Sometimes you just get your back up. And if you feel the other person has done something wrong as well, you don't want to be the first person to admit that you did something wrong in case they don't also admit that they did something wrong, then you feel like a schmuck.
I don't think this is a male-only problem either, though. I think this is a universality in humanity is we don't like to apologize when we've done something wrong. There's some people that have that ability to, you know, not be egotistical and fess up to their wrongdoings. But, I mean... women aren't particularly better at apologizing than men are.
It's interesting because Andrew sent me a note. Andrew wants to talk about this. Andrew, you feel that you say women have a harder time to apologizing than men do?
Again, not as general, but I would say though that like in my own personal relationships, like with my guy friends, like, and they're all straight. I have like literally no gay friends. It's weird. I don't know why, but whatever. I guess we're a rare species. We're a dying breed, I suppose. But yeah, no, I find that all my dude friends are like all super easy to be like, oh dude, I'm sorry, and just get over it and move on. Whereas like I find that like a majority of my female friends, if we've ever had any sort of like tough interactions, it lasts for a while and the apology never really happens, or it takes a bit. So that's my own personal experience. I wouldn't.
Okay, but Andy, could that be related specifically anecdotally to the situation? Sure. Not necessarily to anything to do with anybody's gender?
I think, Yeah, no, absolutely. I think definitely there are certain people that want to apologize and move on. There's an apology on our personal level, and then there's a political level. And political, it's so different. You're taking into account that other people's motivations for apologizing, right? On a daily level, you just want to move on and get on with your day. But in a political realm, you want to like repair, renegotiate, kind of transform the message. So I never believe an apology from anyone, because you know that when someone comes out
from anyone, face, wait, you mean never from any politician?
Anyone in the media, no, I truly don't, because for every one, there's always 20 more, and you never know why they're going to be released or how. So everything's tactical. There's like a tactic for releasing those blackface photos. You do not think, like, think about it. Those are 2001. You do not think that the blackface
picture thing was a video from well before 2001. It was a video when he was in high school. Aladdin is 2001.
Right, that's what I'm speaking of. Okay,
that's not blackface. Blackface is a very specific thing with a very specific history.
Yes, right. There wasn't the big red lips and whatever. It wasn't like an Al Jolson. But the brownface thing, you cannot tell me that the Liberal Party did not, the first thing they would do is go and grab every bloody yearbook that he could possibly be in and look at it. They had that.
No, so they didn't. You know why? Because it wasn't in a yearbook. It was in a newsletter. Who keeps school newsletters? I don't know. I keep almost everything. I have my own archive, history. I have memos from Much Music going back years. I have memos from my cable days going back years that I save in a file, because sometimes I find them, I look through it, and it's amusing because it's sort of a history of fuck you to lots of these people. Few people keep an actual school newsletter. That's why it wasn't found, is because it wasn't in the yearbook.
But very few people also went to school with Justin Trudeau, the son of the prime minister.
Well, yes, that's true. And one of them kept the newsletter and didn't think anything of it years later. Now, sir, are you saying that you don't think that Justin Trudeau is actually sorry for having done that?
Absolutely. Of course he's sorry. But that's what pisses me off, is that it's like he's so insulated. And to him, he just is, there's something about him I've never liked. And it's so wild because, yeah, I am a raging liberal left, you know, person, and I should be so in love with him, but I'm not. And I don't know what it is. I can't put my finger on it, but there's something that just feels so icky, like someone who just grew up very privileged. But not privileged in the way that he's an asshole, but just that he's so aloof. Like, I just always felt him to be aloof, and someone else is doing the hard work for him. And
I've met him more than once.
I'm sure he's a genuine great guy and really
he
honest,
actually like, is. And the thing is, the thing that pissed me off about him, we're a bit digressing. The thing that pissed me off about him was all the deification and all the sanctimoniousness that we got from him, which was intended to cut off the support of the NDP by sounding like the NDP, all that shit, that pissed me off. Because that's not the guy that I know. The guy that I know beat the shit out of Patrick Brazeau in a boxing match.
Exactly. And that's what I mean, is that I like the Jean Chrétien type of, like, you know, pepper, you know, put pepper in whatever. Like, I miss that kind of a little bit of a rough edge, you know, a little bit of a fighting edge. And I felt like he lost that fighting edge when he had to be in the public spotlight as running for prime minister. So, yeah, I think he's softened up, and I think it goes back to the argument about apologizing, and people don't like people who get soft.
Well, especially not if you're a pickle kisser.
Damn right, baby.
All right. Sean, you've heard what we've said. Any thoughts on what we've talked about so far?
Well, I was going to bring up, do you think he's sorry for doing it, or do you think he's sorry that it was found out that he had done it?
I think he's ashamed that he did it. Because you think about it, the guy has spent, the last 4 years extolling multiculturalism, saying when the rest of the world was saying to hell with Syrian refugees, just you can go through our country, but don't stop here. He said, no, we'll take more of them here in Canada. He apologized to Native people. No other prime minister had. This is a guy who has walked the talk. Think that he feels like an asshole. I think I mean, is there anybody here? Anybody step forward if anybody here has not done something in their past, 20 years ago, whatever, you're in high school, a little older, you look back and you think, it doesn't matter that the times were different and the values of the times are different, but what the fuck was I thinking? Is there anybody here that does not have a regret from back then? Exactly. Every time I ask that question, I get the same silence. So I think that he's upset. You got to also remember, this is the son of a guy whose father literally changed the face of Canada. He changed, Pierre Trudeau changed where people could immigrate to Canada from. Before, it was always white places, white Commonwealth nations. He opened it up to the West Indies, to India, everywhere, people of all colors. And there's conservatives who will never forgive that family for that. But this is a family that actually believes in multiculturalism. And what I'm thinking is doing the blackface thing, that may have been a bit of teenage rebellion on Trudeau's part. I don't fucking know, but he was a teenager. Jesus, you know what, Andy? I'll tell you, you're gay. We've established that maybe several times today.
Yeah.
There were times years ago, probably before, how old are you?
I'm 16.
Okay. And Andy, are you older than 30?
I'm old enough to not remember Rick Campanelli with long hair, but to remember him on Much Music. Let's just say that.
Okay. In that case, you're not old enough to remember that there was a time when, you know what? It was a common thing to make jokes about gay people. It was a common thing to make laughs. And I made them. I made hateful ones. Never ones that I thought were hateful. Okay. I didn't realize at the time that even if they were trying to laugh about our differences instead of laughing at our differences or laughing, at the difference of the other people, even if you're just trying to bridge gaps, you're still othering people with those kinds of jokes. You know, the hilarious jokes of, the gay couple, Patrick Fitzmaurice and Morris Fitzpatrick, that couple, like hilarious. Yeah. Brilliant jokes like that. I look back and I say, at the time, I thought that was clever and funny. And that time was over 25 years ago. Now I look at it and say, first of all, it wasn't intended to be hateful, but it did other gay people. And at the same time, I'm disappointed because, boy, was that a fucking lame joke. But should I be held to account for what I said then? If I've done since then things that have been gone in the other direction?
Here's a really good example, and I always talk about this. So I used to be one of those people that would say, like, dude, Black Lives Matter, what the hell? Like, why are they so up in a fury about it? And I'd be, because I grew up in a very conservative family, and, because of that, I had so many tendencies that now I look back and I'm like, are you kidding? Like, how did you not see the writing on the wall? So, yeah, there's definitely things that are out there. But I think to come out and speak about them, I think Justin Trudeau has done a great job at pushing, like, as you mentioned, innumerable things forward. I think he's completely forgiven in my books, okay? And I think he should be forgiven in Canada's books as well. People should get over it and let him get on with his job and do what he keeps doing very well, which is politicking and doing his thing. So,
there's another question here.
Before we get to that, Hafiz, Andy, I want to say to you on behalf of all gay people across the gay spectrum, I'm actually sorry for the stupid jokes I told back when we still thought those jokes were funny and weren't hurting anybody. All right, I apologize for that because I feel badly about it because now I recognize how fucking ignorant they really were. And you know what? 20 years from now, each one of us is going to look back on something we said or an attitude we had now and think we were fucking idiots too. But I apologize because that was othering, and othering leads to ostracization, to hatred, to mockery. I apologize. I apologize to you and to all gay people.
Thank
for
you.
Having said something Thank so you. Fucking stupid all those years ago. And I
Thank you.
I was also, but then in 2001, I was on my late night show, which was a very testosterone fueled show intentionally because it was making fun of that culture. But back then, I was saying that I supported gay marriage, gay adoption, gay rights, back before anybody else was saying it on their TV shows. So people can't fucking grow up. Hafiz, you wanted to say something.
I think there's another question in here. Are we able to accept apologies? Because I notice a lot of people are capable of apologizing, but as a society, and you know, going through this discussion we had, are we ready to accept people's apologies when they say their story? Or are we a culture that's always going to berate people no matter what?
I think that depends on who you ask, really.
Go ahead, Sean.
It's funny is the, remember the guy, I think it was about a year ago, the guy down in Vermont who was also caught with the blackface.
The American politician.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it's funny is it was actually white people who were more outraged about that than the black people who were in his district, or in his state. And, the black people accepted his apology and basically had moved on. And it was the white people that just kept hammering him and hammering him and hammering him for it. And I think ultimately it comes down to, as a white person myself, I think the first thing to do when something like this Trudeau blackface, brownface thing comes out is to ask somebody of a person of color as to how they feel about it. Before being outraged myself, because I have a lot of white liberal friends who are, you know, mind blown, posting stuff all over Facebook about how insulted they are and disappointed and so on and so forth. About
how insulted they are.
Exactly.
As if this insult was directed towards them.
Exactly. And you made a point about this same sort of thing on Friday, one of Friday's podcasts, about Trudeau and the tennis player. And how it was, you know, all these people were being outraged about the way he looked and everything like that. But nobody thought to ask the tennis player how she felt about Trudeau being that close. And I had to constantly bring that up on Twitter and Facebook and so on and so forth about nobody thinks to ask the person who is in that situation. And they always take it from 0 to 11, and get outraged about it, and they won't let it go, and they refuse to accept the apology after it comes. But they never talk to somebody who actually, you know, might actually be affected by it, like a black person or a brown person.
All right. Well, you know, the thing is, if you listen to the edition of the No Bullpen, which just came out this a few days ago, the theory that was opened with there is that all these white people that are so outraged are doing so because they think that by showing their outrage now, they're somehow cleansing their souls from the fact that they were alive in those times. And they wouldn't have thought anything of it back then. And they might have had those attitudes too. And they're thinking that somehow they are exorcising the demons of their own internal racism and ignorance from those times by showing how outraged they are now. Whereas a lot of black and brown people are saying, yeah, that was a bad thing he did all those years ago. There's racism today we need to deal with. Let's focus on that.
Yeah.
Hafiz, you had a thought.
I had a thought on racism and this apology thing? I thought I already had my thought.
All right, forget it then. Justin, you wanted to say something.
Yeah, so especially on forgiveness, I think at a societal level in North America, especially in the States, but also in Canada, we have a real problem with forgiveness. It doesn't take much to compare our prison system here to some other examples, especially in Europe. Norway would be the best example. There, the maximum sentence it's not even 20 years for anything that you do. And
murder?
Yeah, yeah.
So even you can be Jeffrey Dahmer and shove people in your freezer and you only get 20 years?
Well, there's a limit on the sentence, but if if when your time to be released comes up, they can extend it at that time. If you're clearly still, whatever caused you to do something like that is still very much apparent, they can stop it. But the focus there is like their recidivism rates there are like, I believe it was like 20%. And then in the States, it's 80% over 2 years.
Yes, you're like right.
It's huge. The focus over here is so much on punishment and retribution.
You can't compare, you know what? You can't compare Canada and the US as the same thing because our recidivism rate is lower than the American recidivism rate because America is a punitive culture. Mm-hmm. They believe that in punishing others. Mostly they do it because they were founded by Puritans and they're moralizers. And transgressors deserve punishment and they deserve to be exiled from humanity as opposed to, you know, there are some people that should be exiled from humanity. But most people screw up for various reasons and with proper attention, proper education and so on. They can go out in the public and never recommit a crime. Absolutely. However, when in the U.S., they have other problems, like if your skin color is not white, you can have a hard time finding a job because, A, you're black, B, you're a black ex-con. Sometimes they have to put food on the table, so they wind up back in crime. There's your recidivism. They also don't bother trying to teach them a trade or trying to, you know, or showing any sense of you can ever get past this. Because if somebody thinks that they're never going to be forgiven, they're always going to be seen as who they were when they made that mistake. Why would you bother being motivated towards being something different?
Well, the whole thing, even with the Trudeau apology thing, it really does put people, I think it's detrimental to our whole societal level regarding forgiveness and apologies. If people see someone come out and apologize for something and they're just torn apart, no matter how genuine it seems that they really feel bad about something, or, you know, in his case, he could have timed it. You know, there were lots of times where he apologized for Canada's racist history, where he could have included something like that in it and said, you know, and I'm not perfectly innocent on this either. So he really did only apologize when he kind of got caught, which doesn't look as good as it could have. But it just sucks.
I was going to ask about that.
It puts us all off.
What kind of idiot in politics brings forward a picture like that and says, here, look at this, I'm sorry. You wait for that shit to fall.
I think it would have played better with his sort of sunny ways thing that he had going on to be sort of upfront about it and not wait until a gotcha moment. Because this really put him back on his heels. Like he's apologizing, yes, but it just taints it and it makes it seem less genuine overall because he waited until he got caught.
All right, Andy, who has the question?
You know who did the apology really, really well? Was David Letterman when he got caught cheating on his wife with an intern. Mm. And he just came out straight up and he said, look, things are going to get a little hairy in the next couple of weeks. You may hear some things. But this happened, and I did it. And I banged her in the driveway. Well, sure, but I mean, isn't all apologies in that are forced kind of blackmail anyways in some regard, if you think about it? Like,
kind of, yeah.
But he did so well, and I was actually going to ask that question. Would there be the same backlash if he came out and just said, look, I did blackface, brownface, whatever, I did this, you know, and he brought it in?
If Trudeau had brought it to the fore himself.
Yes. Could he have controlled the conversation a little bit better, or would there still have been as much of an outrage?
I think he definitely would have controlled it better, and it wouldn't have rolled out right during the election, right? Like, he could have controlled some of the narrative around it, and I think it would have probably died out earlier.
Yeah. Well, he said that his answer is that he was embarrassed.
Yeah.
He was ashamed, and I think we can all relate to and he having was, felt that yeah. way.
Sean's on point, actually.
What's that?
I think Sean's got a point on the blackface thing.
All right, Sean, go.
I was just going to say that he did get in front of the second thing that came out with him wearing the blackface. So he did kind of own up to that after he got caught for the Aladdin thing. Mm. So he did there, you know, you kind of have to give him props for that. I don't know if he just was trying to get in front of it before it ended up coming out and the video came out, but at least he did own up to that when the Aladdin thing came out. So he, did I kind of have to give him a half marks for that.
So you remember the apology he gave on the plane? Like, he didn't really say, yes, there are other instances beyond. Well, I guess, yeah, he went to one of them, but then they said, is there anything else? And he said, I think that's enough. And he wouldn't give a quite a clear answer. So it was, I don't know, it left an open door there for people to kind of.
Let me ask you guys another question on the subject of apologies, men and apologies. It seems that the conservative mindset that exists now is very cartoonish as far as masculinity goes. It's a very narrow understanding of what masculinity is, because, you know, they'll go back to John Wayne and people like that, forgetting that John Wayne in his movies always tried to save usually the kidnapped woman or something, but the point was help the vulnerable. Women and children first was, you know, for so many years, maybe still is, the idea in a disaster. What that means is that men should be helping the people who are more vulnerable first. That seems to be lost in this traditional conservative idea of masculinity. But we've got a conservative leader in Andrew Scheer, who in 2006 made a speech that's on video where he was excoriating the idea of equal marriage, gay marriage at that time, and compared gay people wanting to get married to a dog. Like, it was hateful language. And he has had the chance since 2006 to apologize, and he hasn't. Now, if his opinions haven't changed, do you have more respect for him for not giving out an apology that he doesn't really mean, just for political expediency? What do you think, Andy?
I think we'd have to have, I know I'm not Andy, but he's muted right now. I think we'd have to have, you know, some respect for him to begin with, to have more respect for him.
Do you have any respect for the fact, you don't have to have respect for his opinions, because fuck no. But is there some respect to be had for somebody who won't apologize just for political expediency, somebody who doesn't feel they did something wrong and isn't about to give an insincere apology? Is there something there to be respected? Hafiz.
Yeah.
Look, if you, within the case of Scheer, there's no sincere apology whatsoever. I can't really point to a point where he said that, you know, he is in fact changed his opinion on homosexuals in Canada. And it really bugs me, because if you look at where his politics started, his first steps, he was paired up with a guy that believed that homosexuality should be criminalized. That's his first step into politics. So this shows, I mean, if Trudeau's history of blackface is pushed off as showing a tradition of being racist, then what does that say?
Well, you can't blame a guy for who he worked for. I worked for some assholes too with stupid ideas. But I mean, as far as tracing his career path, wait, was that before or after he was a fake insurance broker?
That was after. He left the fake insurance broker job to pair up with this dude that he empathized with to get him elected. And that dude was kicked out of the alliance at that time, because his views were too controversial.
All right, but you're getting away from my question. Is there some respect to be given to somebody who refuses to issue an apology that don't really mean, just for political expediency? Is there something, take away what it is they're not apologizing for? Just look at the principle of not apologizing for something you don't sincerely feel you need to apologize for, simply to win votes. Is there something respectable in that, Sean?
I would say there's nothing respectable about it, unless your name is Trump. really that's what it comes down to, because he's really the only one who can honestly get away with that and not, you know, kind of still save face and not apologizing.
So you don't think there's anything, you don't think that somebody who still has certain beliefs and refuses to apologize them for political points is somehow better than somebody who still holds beliefs and lies in an apology?
If you want to represent the entire country, you have to represent the entire country, regardless of how you feel about...
Forget about the fact that this is Andrew Scheer. Forget about what it is he said. What I'm talking, just the principle of, is a sincere, is an insincere apology better than a sincere non-apology?
No. That's a hard question. It really comes that comes down to context, I think.
I would agree. It has to come down to the issue. Like, what are you not apologizing for? Like, is that a value that society on that issue would actually empathize with?
I would say, like, us as Canadians.
For example, Trudeau won't apologize for SNC, right? And he says he won't do that because of he said he'd never not stick up for jobs.
Yeah,
right. I would stand with him on that one, because I think anyone in that position, at the end of the day, as prime minister, would be like, well, the jobs are more important than anything.
So a sincere non-apology is better than an insincere apology. Is that what we all think?
You need to have a value attached to it as to why you're not apologizing. You can't just dodge the issue.
Well, it's funny in the Scheer case, because really he's not apologizing for political expediency, because I don't think his supporters, they've probably done polling, and I'm sure that it came back to say that, you know, oh yeah, people don't want you to apologize for that because they agree with you.
So you're saying that his lack of apology in this case, the principle that's that was applying is misapplied in Andrew Scheer's case, because the reason that he's not apologizing is for political expediency, not wanting to turn off the homophobes.
Yeah, it's at least part of it. You know, it's we can't sit here and presume to know what he really thinks or feels in his mind, but I have a feeling he doesn't have a very big issue with not apologizing for that.
All right. Now, let me just ask you as we close this off. You don't have to tell. I don't want to hear what it is. I just want to go one by one and ask you, if you think about it, is there somebody in your past or something you've done in your past that in your head now you would like to apologize for if given the opportunity? Don't want to hear what it was or who it was. I just want to know, is that something that's a reality in your life? We'll start with Sean.
Yeah, I probably have a number of situations where I've done things that I shouldn't have done, and that I'm sorry for. And some of them I have apologized for, and others I haven't.
Okay, and you feel bad about the ones you haven't apologized for, I'm guessing?
Yeah, I feel bad about them, but then again, I look at it as is that was a bit of a learning experience at that point in my life, and there are some things that, once again, it all comes down to context.
All right.
At the time, I don't think it was due for an apology, but now I do.
Okay. You know, listen, we all get older, but aging doesn't necessarily bring wisdom or a new perspective. So
true.
That happens. Hafiz, how about you? Somebody or something you've done in the past that you think, if given the opportunity, you'd apologize for, it kind of bugs you still now?
You know what? I do have thoughts of things that may have happened, like in high school, and even things that go back even further to like when I was young. Like, and you revisit something that you did where you were completely a dick as a child, and you're like, damn, I wish I could see that person and say I'm sorry for being a dick. And you know, I've had people that I had in high school that were dicks to me that have come up and said sorry ages later. Like, and that feeling to the person that gets the apology as someone that's received it, I have to say it's a heartwarming experience. And if there's someone that anyone out there thinks that they believe they owe an apology to, do your best to do that, I'd say.
All right. Justin?
Yeah, 100% agree with Hafiz. I've been in that situation myself where I have run into people from high school. I wasn't a bully myself, but I still definitely remember doing things that I don't like. And I've apologized, and it's always gone over in that fashion. And at the same time, I've had people who bullied me in school who came up to me years later, just happened to see them at an event, and they apologized. And it does feel good.
Probably for them too, to be forgiven.
Absolutely. Yeah. And right. I do still have things that I would like to apologize for sure.
It's interesting because there was recently somebody contacted me on Facebook who I knew years ago, junior high school years ago, who was a complete asshole. He harassed everybody he could, and every opportunity he got, he tried to harass me, and he wanted to friend me. And I ignored him at first. And then I said, hey, you know what? I sent him a message saying, all I remember is you trying to be a bully and harass me. Why would I be your friend now? And he said, you know what? I was an asshole back then. And I regret the person I was back then. And you're right. I wouldn't friend me either. And so I said, okay, you're forgiven. And I friended him because he owned up to it. And that's important. I tend to forgive people. I try to anyway, from my past, every 6 months or so. Because you never know when somebody has screwed you or done something wrong. You don't know what they were going through at the time. You don't know who they were at the time. You don't know who they are now. So with reason, I sort of, if somebody who was an asshole to me approaches me now, I'll be cordial in most cases, because if it's a long time ago, I don't know what they were going through, because none of us knows what anybody else is going through at a time or why they're acting the way they are. And they may very well be sorry. So, you know, apologizing is important, and giving forgiveness is also, I think, important. And I don't think either of them take away from your masculinity. Because you know what? It's difficult to apologize. And masculinity isn't about being a man, isn't about staying away from difficult things. It's from doing difficult things, facing up to it. Because, you know, bravery isn't somebody who has no fear. Bravery is somebody who's afraid, but does it anyway. You know, but faces that fear and does it anyway. Because if you've got no fear, you have no bravery. So I don't know what happened with Andy. He seems to have disappeared.
I'm here. Okay, here.
Where the hell did you go for 20 minutes?
Okay, well, first of all, I'm sorry. Here's my apology. I'm sorry that I looked at the clock. Saw it was 11, and breakfast was going to be over at the McDonald's. So I ran over there now and got some.
Wait a minute. We were doing a recording, and you left the recording to go get food at McDonald's?
Okay, well, first of all, it wasn't the McDonald's. It was Triple O, which I don't know if you guys have them out east. But
no, and it's irrelevant.
They're damn good. No, it is really good. I'm sorry. I had to.
You left an active podcast recording with four other people here. I can hear you with your crinkly bag.
Okay.
I can hear you.
I'm serious. You have no idea. The Sunny Start sandwich is better than anything. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
You picked up and walked off during a podcast.
And I did it in blackface, too.
You know, Andy, you got balls. I'll tell you that.
I marched right up there, full blackface. I said, honey, I need to get myself in order. I need a Sunny Start. Make it quick. And I got out of there.
I suspect the blackface part is not true, but I believe that the muting your microphone so you could go out of your home to go get food and bring it back, I believe that was true. And you know what? You have apologized. I'm gonna take some time deciding as to whether I forgive you for that. Let's take a vote. Sean, do we forgive him for that?
Ooh, that hash brown.
I haven't had Triple O's breakfast yet, so I can't really say if it's worth it. But yeah, let's give him a pass.
Hafiz?
I think Andy can get a bit of a leeway on this. I guess he was really hungry. But you know what? He could have got that before this recording. You're a bastard, Andy. I'm so
yeah,
hungry.
Okay. No, okay, no forgiveness from Hafiz. Justin, what do you think? Does he left four of us here doing a conversation, doing a podcast, so he could run over and get some fast food. Forgiven or not forgiven?
I was listening.
I was feeling forgiveness to begin with, and then you started rubbing it in with the hash browns and everything.
Oh,
and
God.
I don't know.
It's on my nipples slightly, now. I'm rubbing it. Oh, God, yeah.
Oh, my God.
I'm slightly doubting the authenticity of the apology.
And you wonder why I'm single, for Christ's sake. You really do.
Oh, I stopped wondering a while ago. All right, guys, thank you for joining us on Mansplaining. I don't think that we, as usual, we didn't come to a definitive answer because we're not looking for a definitive answer. It's just our opinion as men in 2019, trying to be better men, better people in 2019. And if you're listening to this in 2020, the same shit applies. I want to thank Hafiz Narani for producing this episode, as usual, bringing everybody together. Thank you, Hafiz.
You're very welcome.
Justin, thoughtful comments as always. Thank you for participating.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Sean, welcome. You're welcome back anytime.
Fantastic. Happy to be here.
Andy, fuck you.
I love you too, baby. I love you too.
All right. I'm Ed the Sock. This has been Mansplaining on Find the FU Network's FU Politics channel, which, by the way, could use a few of your shekels. If you want to subscribe to help us build this network outwards, because we've got 6 series now. We've got more in the hopper, not political, all kinds of things. Comic books, popular culture, women's issues, all kinds of stuff that we want to build. And we want to build pop-up studios too, like Little Much Music environments in various parts of the country where you guys who are listening can come and be part of the conversation. We have a lot of plans. There's things we want to do. Right-wing media, like Post Media, has tons of money from U.S. hedge funds, okay? And most of the media in Canada is right-wing or right-leaning. They've got tons of money. Those of us trying to do people-centered broadcasting, like we're doing now, where people on the shows sound like the people listening to the shows, the common conversations that you would be having, it's difficult because trying to build moderate media in this environment isn't the easiest thing. Now, we've got an agency that's out looking for sponsors, great. But if you guys want to see this thing grow and survive, and maybe we'll even send some money to frickin' Andy so he can buy himself his breakfast in advance of the show.
Oh my God.
Oh, he's eating, for God's sakes.
That's so good.
Contribute to us, patreon.com/FUNetworkTV if you want to be a subscriber, which starts at $1 a month. And many of you have been doing it, and I appreciate that because it's been building. So thank you very much for parting with your $1, $5, $10, somebody's even $20, whatever you can afford, do it. We appreciate it. If you want to just drop us a one-time load, a donation through PayPal, you can do it through our address, funetworktv@gmail.com. And that's the Tin Cup episode or portion of this program. I'm Ed the Sock, and for all of my panel and Andy, who I hope chokes on whatever the hell he's eating now, thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.
For he's a jolly good fellow, for he's a jolly good fellow, for he's a jolly good fellow. Let's all say all of us.
This is fun! The FU Network!